Welcome to The Voice of Retail. I'm your host, Michael LeBlanc. This podcast is brought to you in conjunction with Retail Council of Canada. On this special episode, I'm thrilled to be sharing with you my interview with Universal Standard co-founder and Canadian retailer, Alexander Waldman, with a special Conversations with Commerce Next podcast edition of The Voice of Retail. I launched Conversations with Commerce Next podcast with my partners, Commerce Next co-founders Veronica Sansev and Scott Silverman, in early June. And it's been an amazing start with a great audience. Check it out where you enjoy your podcast today. So here's my full-length feature interview with Alex from women's apparel retailer Universal Standard, who just last week the Times of London called the most revolutionary brand in fashion. Welcome to the Conversations with Commerce Next podcast, Season 1, Episode 2. I'm your host, Michael LeBlanc. This podcast is brought to you in conjunction with Commerce Next and presented by Wunderkind. Alex Waldman, co-founder and creative director at Universal Standard, has guided the company's marketing processes with two truths. The first, authenticity is everything. The second, generosity is never lost on the consumer. In this episode of Conversations with Commerce Next, Scott Silverman and I talk with Alex about joy as a career strategy, the marketing process for ethically motivated brands, and building genuine consumer-company relationships.
And this is where I find myself right now. I am a changer of the thing that has brought me a lot of anguish through my life.
Alex sheds light on what it's like to be a champion of change for women in an industry that has otherwise been hostile and exclusive. Universal Standard is a New York-based e-commerce fashion brand that represents a paradigm shift in the inclusive size segment, delivering fashion fundamentals and a style footprint not available until now. Alex Waldman is a trailblazer who is determined to deliver impactful change from the product and the bottom line to the consumer and the greater community. Let's listen in. Alex, welcome to Conversations with Commerce Next podcast. How are you doing today?
I'm very well. Thank you. I'm looking forward to this.
Fantastic. And I'm joined here with Scott Silverman, who's founder of Commerce Next. Scott, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. Happy to be here, both of you.
So, Alex, I think you and I have something in common. Did you go to Carleton University?
Oh my gosh, I did. Yes.
So did I. I'm a graduate of Carleton University.
Wow.
Come on, right?
It's rare enough to get another Canadian in these conversations, but one who went to the same university, that's nice.
Go figure. Go, oh, Canada. Well, that's such a funny coincidence, right?
That's amazing.
A fellow alumni, we'll have to reach out and tell them we connected. Well, listen, let's jump in. That's a great piece of background, but let's jump in and tell us all about yourself, your personal, professional journey, and what you do, and all about your company, and give us the background on you and the company.
In order to make it at least somewhat interesting to people who have never met me, I can tell you this: I never in a million years anticipated that I would be sitting here having this conversation, doing what I'm doing, where I'm doing it. And I think that that's an important thing to remember, because it doesn't matter where you are right now. Everything can change if you want it to. I've always imagined that having a career in the creative sphere, especially visually creative, was something that, you know, really meant something to me, but I never saw a clear path to it. I didn't know in which way I might actually get there. So for me to be sitting here and talking to you about the company that I co-founded and that I get to be creative in every single day, is a real pleasure.
It's a real juxtaposition, right? The creative and the business of running Universal Standard.
Yes.
That's unique, right? And so, you know, for many people in retail, it's kind of described sometimes as the accidental career. For you, it feels like this intersection of the personal and the professional. Expand on that a little bit more and tell us all about Universal Standard. Such an inclusive brand. It's a wonderful concept. Tell us all about it.
Well, I think that this is a result of a lot of personal experience and a lot of personal lack of access to the things that I wanted. So, you know, when I was growing up in the world and I was trying to hone into how I wanted to present myself in the world, I found that it was a bit hostile out there that people either didn't believe I existed or they didn't believe I deserved to have the same access that people with another type of body did. And I found myself in this very strange crux between really living in the world of fashion, because I was a fashion journalist and I was writing about it, and also being firmly told over and over that I cannot participate in it. And that's a very sobering situation, because you have to understand for some reason that the thing that you love is not allowed for you. Right. And when you have the opportunity to grow as an individual and really think that that is wrong and it can be changed and it should be changed, every once in a while, you'll get the opportunity to be the changer of that thing. And this is where I find myself right now. I am a changer of the thing that has brought me a lot of anguish through my life. And I'm very happy to be able to bring that to not just myself, obviously, but a lot of other women.
Well, as I said, it's a real intersection of the personal and the professional. So let's talk about the professional. Let's talk about Universal Standard. Take for the listeners who may not know of the brand or know as much as they need to, tell us all about how you go to market and what you do and what your product is and all those great things.
So Universal Standard is a women's apparel brand. It's been around for just over 5 years. We set out to create a new country, really, more than a company. We knew that this would have to be a change that was led by culture rather than the industry, the fashion industry. So we wanted to create a brand of clothing that was for women. It was not for small women. It was not for plus size women. It was just for women. And we wanted to sort of bridge that divide that had for some reason developed into two completely different offerings to a lot of women in the United States and around the world. So we thought we would start a brand that went from a 00, which is very small, to a 40, which is considerably large. It's so large, in fact, that a lot of people on the plus size are confused about what that means. Like, they think it's some sort of different measurement, because it's very rare to hear of a brand that goes all the way up to 40 in the increments that everyone is used to. So we really wanted to be as inclusive as possible. And we started this company. We started in a smaller sort of area, because you have to, I'm a big believer in biting off more than you can chew and chewing it, but then you have to make sure that you actually can chew it. So we started from a size 10 to a size 28. And over the years, we expanded to our full size range.
Yeah. Right. You didn't want to make it so big that you choke on the first bite kind of thing.
Well, exactly. And we weren't going to start with smaller sizes, because we weren't prepared to, out of the gate to compete with the Zaras and the Forever 21s and whoever else was out there. We had absolutely zero knowledge about this world. And I think that this is another somewhat interesting thing. We were not experienced anything. We were not experienced manufacturers, designers, producers. We were none of those things. In fact, when we decided to actually take the plunge, the first thing we did was we went to stores, department stores, and we looked at the brands that we liked, that we admired, and we literally looked for the made in tag to see where they make their clothes. Yeah. This is the zero at which we were starting.
But at the same time, you weren't bound by the same conventions though, right? I mean, you're starting with a fresh, clean slate. So, you got to figure out some things, but they're not unfigureoutable, so to speak, one way or the other.
Spot on. And it was actually, in retrospect, one of the best things that we had, the best tools that we had in our pocket, which we probably wouldn't have considered it at the time, was our lack of knowledge and our lack of commitment to the way things had always been done. We were starting with nothing, and that nothing is a clean slate, which is often a good thing.
And so just practically, online site, do you have physical stores? Again, just for the listeners who may not know the brand.
Yes, so
a few minutes on that.
We're primarily a direct-to-consumer, so we live on the net. We had some showrooms where people could see and experience the clothing, you know, in a tactile way. The COVID-19 situation sort of shut everything of that sort down, but we've been trying to make up for that by making it really, really easy for customers who do shop over the internet to make the right choices and then give them a myriad of options that allows them to feel confident in those choices without feeling like they're trapped into something that they've, you know, they haven't tried before.
Last quick question on the business, and then I'll pass the mic to Scott, so to speak. Do you ship in the United States? Do you ship internationally? Just the scope of the business from a DTC
perspective. We ship internationally, and we have pretty much from day one, which is one of the beauties of direct to consumer. You know, you step into the whole world, and the response has been tremendous because this is such a lacking kind of space. This is such a place where women are just like, come on, give me something. So it made a lot of sense for us to just like open it up to the world, and the world responded very well.
It's great to hear this story on so many different levels. I am a father of college age children, and I feel like they are in this position where they feel like they have to have this very clear path of how they're going to get from A to whatever. And just hearing the twists and turns that you took is really inspiring. And it's a real thrill to talk to you and learn more about you. We had you as one of our speakers at our virtual summit, and the reaction to the concept of universal standard was so strong when you were talking about the inclusive, how inclusive you were, the reaction of people, everyone was cheering you on. It was really inspiring to see that. And I think one of the things about Universal Standard that makes it unique is that you aren't afraid to take positions on social issues. And I was wondering if you could share an example, you know, of one of those positions that you took, and perhaps, you know, how you involve your customers in something like that.
So first of all, thank you very much. It's very kind of you to say. And I think that we now live in a world where just what I call cold consumerism is a bit of a turnoff. So it's not just about hawking goods. It's not just about offering another frock or a t-shirt that costs as much as a sandwich that has a myriad of issues attached to it on the back end. People are, you know, becoming more and more aware of how they vote with their wallet. And especially the last 5 years have really provided us with a framework to be better, to do better, to care more, and to show that. And now it's become almost like a requisite sort of relationship builder between brand and consumer, where they want to know what you're about. They want to know what you care about, you know, how you spend your money, what you're putting your energy into, because they want to be on the right side of so many social issues that have been brought to light over the last, especially 5 years. So we sat down as two founders and as a group of people who work very hard to make this company what it is. And we asked ourselves some very candid questions, like what mattered to us? What were we willing to say? Okay, you might not like this, but we believe in it and we will stand behind it. And so one of the first, we did a lot of things. We worked with Dress for Success to make sure that women who, for whatever reason, whether they were coming out of prison or whether they had not worked for a very long period of time or whether they, you know, had no skills, could walk into a place and actually prepare themselves sartorially for an interview process. We worked with the Coalition for the Homeless First Step program, which also did that for women. One of the more controversial positions we took was in something we very firmly believe in. We still have a very strong working relationship with Planned Parenthood because we believe in access for all to women's health. And, you know, once we understood that this was something we really, truly believed in, we were ready to say it publicly. And we sort of backed off and we waited to see what the reaction was. And the reaction was tremendous. There were a few people who were like, you know, I'm not really into that. That's fine. That's your choice. This is what, you know, freedom of choice is all about. But a vast, vast majority of women really respected the fact that we were willing to support both financially and socially such an important organization.
We'll be right back with our interview with Alex Wallman right after this message. Wunderkind is a leading performance marketing engine that delivers tailored experiences at scale. Digital businesses use Wunderkind to remember who users are better than ever before, allowing them to deliver high-performing one-to-one messages on websites, through emails and texts, and in ads at a scale that's not otherwise possible. Wunderkind drives $1.2 billion annually in directly attributable revenue for top e-commerce brands like Uniqlo, Sonos, and HelloFresh, often ranking as a top three revenue channel in their own analytics. Learn more at wunderkind.co. That's wunderkind.co.
That's amazing to hear how proactive you've been in advocating for these different social issues, and interesting to hear you talk about how things have really evolved, and you know, especially in the last 5 years or so. You know, Commerce Next, as you're familiar with it, we focus on marketing. So I would be remiss if we didn't ask you to talk a little bit about how you approach marketing and, you know, what's unique in your marketing approach, the channels that you're using, some of the messaging, how you balance brand and performance marketing. Anything along those lines, I think our listeners would be interested to hear a little bit more about that.
So there are two truths, probably more than two truths, but two truths that really stand out to me that we learned through the marketing process. One was authenticity. There's absolutely nothing like it. The consumer is very sophisticated. They have information about your brand from a myriad of perspectives. They do their homework. And you have to be who you claim to be. I think that once you establish that, it changes the relationship between you and the consumer. And that is something that has really made itself very clear in the 5 years that we've been around.
Could you give an example of, you know, maybe something that you were considering doing and you said, you know, that's not authentic to who we are. Let's not do that.
Yes, we have said no to certain collaborations, which we felt did not align with the brand that we wanted to be, the example that we wanted to set. We have said no to certain opportunities that could have been lucrative for the company, but were just not who we are as a group of human beings who started this new country, as I call it. So, you know, there were things, criticisms that we got when we first started where people were, because we were doing things quite differently. And they were like, why are you doing that? Like, nobody else is doing that. Are you sure that's a smart thing to do? And we said, we don't know, but this is how we feel. And all of those things kind of gathered together over the course of 5 years to really show who we are, you know, in the most earnest way possible. And so now the people who do believe in our brand are true believers, and we always try to be as honest and earnest as we can be. The second incredibly important thing that we learned by doing that was also a reflection of our character was that generosity is never wasted on our customer. Mm-hmm. We were doing things where people were scratching their heads and going, how does that make sense from a financial perspective? And we were like, we don't know yet, but we do know that it would be really fantastic if there was a company that offered this. For example, you know, we believe in something called fashion freedom. And one of the things that we know is that women's weight fluctuates. So we came up with an offering that allows you to buy exactly for the size that you are right now, regardless of that perfect whatever that you think is just around the corner, and wear it with confidence and joy because it fits you just as it should at this moment. And should you lose weight or gain weight over the course of a year, send that worn garment back to us and we will send you your new size for free.
Fantastic.
And people
I never heard of such a thing.
Nobody else does this. And people went, wait, what's the catch? And we were like, there's no catch here. There is no catch. We want you to feel confident in your purchase. We want you to feel confident and see yourself as you are right now, not imagine yourself as a better you around the corner, because that's what causes all those mental health issues. You are just fine as you are.
I mean, it's really amazing. I kind of go back to what you were saying earlier about that you started from zero. I think anyone that would have started a company like this that had a whole career in apparel probably would have never done anything like that. It would have been, they would have killed that idea, you know, as soon as it was uttered.
It sounds naive. It sounds naive. And this is why all the sort of established and experienced commerce people were saying, how can you afford that? Because what they're imagining is that every single person who purchases something is going to wear it for a year and then send it back and get a brand new one. And that's not how it works. What it does is it makes the consumer go, okay, I'm covered. I'm fine. I'm going to wear this because it fits me perfectly right now. And then I have options that are not going to cost me more, that are given to me by a company that actually cares about how I feel in my clothes. And what we found is that there are a lot of people who use it and there are a lot of people who don't. They just need that peace of mind and that confidence that we have their back if things should change in either direction.
If you're enjoying this interview, you may want to join us for Commerce Next IRL on September 28th, 29th at the New York Hilton Midtown. Some of the speakers you'll be seeing including Noam Paransky, Chief Digital Officer at Tapestry, Akta Chopra, Chief Digital Officer at Alf Beauty, Matt Gehring, GM of e-commerce at Everlane, Alex Waldman, Co-Founder and Creative Director at Universal Standard, Jennifer Patrick, Global Branding and Packaging Director at Patagonia, and many more. Commerce Next IRL will cover themes such as the resurgence of brick-and-mortar retail and its impact on e-commerce, and how to prepare for a cookie-less future. We can't wait to get the Commerce Next community together in person and hope you'll join us. Learn more and register now at commercenext.com.
What that did was the bond between customer and brand became so much stronger because there was this confidence that was provided through this particular program. So, you know, there was that, there was, we do all sorts of things that allow our customers to participate in creating a better world. I don't want to confuse anyone. We are a women's apparel brand. We're not a political brand. We are a women's apparel brand. But isn't it lovely to know that the great things that you covet and want to have and save up for or just, you know, purchase for yourself are also doing something great in the world? I think that that's been one of the most reached for feelings in the past 5 years, that people, there's a helplessness that we circumnavigate by saying, if you participate in this, it's not just a great piece of clothing. Like, you're actually making something better.
And you're actually making some kind of contribution, right? Like there's something there,
exactly.
Right beyond.
You know, it has largely revolved around, you know, women's issues or the environment. But every once in a while, you know, our reaction is a responsive reaction. So, you know, something might be happening in the world where, you know, we can step in and have an initiative. But that flexibility and the breadth of being able to do all of these things has been really great from just a social interactive kind of perspective, which, as we know, in marketing is everything these days. So it all started one day with a single coat. It was very, very early on. And I think we were like, I think it was our first collection and our most expensive item. It was a coat, a wool coat, Peruvian wool coat. That was, I think, $380. And we had been using a service for delivery that, you know, when you're first out of the gate, you make mistakes, and we had to learn. But we had sent this coat to a customer, and she sent us back a letter with photographs and said, you know, I paid $380 for this coat, which is not a small amount of money for me. And this is how it arrived at my home. And she showed this enormous brown box with the code basically in a ball in a corner of it. Like, it was just so carelessly sent. Mm. And so it was actually my business partner, Paulina, who said, we're going to send her another coat and we're going to let her keep this one. And I said, that, are you, what? Like, that's a and she said, I would rather have her dry clean that coat. And if she doesn't want it, I mean, it's a perfect coat. It's, you know, a brand new coat. She could give it to family members. She could give it to charity. But I want to say, I'm really sorry. And we're going to do this by giving her a pristine, like hand wrapped, perfect coat. And we're going to allow her to keep the one that we sent. Is from that moment on that we realized like the power of generosity and the reaction from the consumer.
It's a wonderful story. I mean, it really illustrates such a different and unique approach. Last couple of questions, I wanted to switch gears into the career side. You mentioned, you know, like everyone, you make mistakes and you learn from your mistakes. Putting a different lens on that, knowing what you know today, what would you have done, if anything, a little bit different that you would say to someone who was starting out on the journey, looking to start a company or being in the creative space? Is there any advice you would have to them based on, well, if I knew what I knew today, then I would have done this different?
In retrospect, hindsight being 2020 and all of that, there's not a lot I would change, but I would say this. I would have listened more carefully to my emotional responses to the various things that I had done leading up to this job. There were things that I really enjoyed, but put aside because they didn't suit, you know, the lifestyle that I wanted to have. There were things that I dredged through and tolerated, but it was the flip side where I was like, yes, but you know, I can afford to actually, you know, pay a better rent and have a nicer thing. And, those are all experiences that, you know, they accumulate and eventually they shape, you know, your understanding of what's important in the world. I wish I was paying closer attention to the things that brought me joy and trusted in leaning into them and pursuing them more than, financial security. And that's a big thing to say, you know, it's a big thing to, and I'm an immigrant. I'm a kid of an immigrant. I'm an immigrant. So, you know, my parents were the parents who said, don't be ridiculous as your option. Don't choose art. Art is useless. Choose typing. Typing is a useful skill. So, you know, and I did. And look what I wound up doing. You know, I wound up doing something that art would have been much more useful for. But yeah. Paying attention to the things that bring you joy, because that is the thing that steers you towards your best self.
If someone was doing your role 5 years from today, even yourself, what would you imagine the difference would be? How do you imagine your role in the years to come?
I think they'd have to beat the drum a lot less. I think that we, hopefully within 5 years, will have managed to convince enough of the world that all women are worthy of dignity and choice, and the creative freedom to present themselves to the world in whatever way they want to. I think that we're still banging on the door. We're still, you know, really sort of trying to change culture in order for fashion to catch up. Right. And it is going quickly because of the extremities of, you know, the extreme situation of the last 5 years. But I hope that with, you know, 5 years from now, all of us as we are is an absolute given and is not like a revolutionary slogan. It's just something that everyone says, yes, of course, all of us as we are.
Wonderful.
Well, this has been an amazing conversation to hear how you created this business with your business partner through new eyes. Things like, you know, generosity as a marketing concept, I think, is one that our listeners can really dig into. If for our listeners, if they want to learn more about you or Universal Standard, where can they go?
universalstandard.com. That's where we live, and that is where we are an open book.
Listen, it's been such a fantastic interview. You mentioned the word joy. Joy is a career strategy I would come on. It's been a joy to chat with you and learn about your business, and fun to have a personal connection. I'll see you, I guess, at the next alumni event at Carleton University. But I'm sure I speak on behalf of Scott, wishing you much continued success and admiration. And thank you for joining us on Conversations with Commerce Next.
Thank you very much. Thank you for bringing this conversation to the public.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of Conversations with Commerce Next. Please follow us on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast platform, where we'll be sharing career advice and marketing strategies from e-commerce and digital marketing leaders at retailers and direct-to-consumer brands each and every episode. Commerce Next is a community, event series, and a conference for marketers at retail and direct-to-consumer brands. Through our online forums, interviews, webinars, summits, and other in-person events, we harness the collective wisdom of the community to help marketers grow their businesses and advance their careers. Join Commerce Next events to meet other industry leaders and learn the latest e-commerce and marketing strategies. You can find upcoming events at commercenext.com. Have a fantastic week, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of The Voice of Retail. Be sure and follow the podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you enjoy podcasts, so you don't miss out on the latest episodes, industry news, and insights. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider leaving a rating review, as it really helps us grow so that we continue to get amazing guests onto the show. I'm your host, Michael LeBlanc, president of Emmy LeBlanc Company, Inc., and if you're looking for more content or want to chat, follow me on LinkedIn or visit my website at emmyleblanc.co. Until next time, stay safe, have a great week.